Thursday night, wing night, 50 cent wings at Jake's Food and Spirit, 3800 Walnut, corner of Walnut and 38, mile and a half north of Coors Field. 50 cent wings, Saturday night's comedy night, but the new thing, and we'll talk about it at in a few minutes from now, but brunch. Think brunch on your way to the Rockies Sunday. Sunday brunch at Jake's. You got a 1 o'clock first pitch. Hit brunch. Go to the Rockies game. I think we have our plan right now. Nuggets and Toronto Raptors getting set to tip off at Pepsi Center. And with that, we head out to Pepsi Center and say good evening to our friend and stiff, Andrew Feinstein. Mr. Feinstein, what's the crowd looking like tonight?
I'm actually not at Pepsi Center tonight.
What?
I know. I'll be there on Wednesday, and I'll be there next week for the Kings game. But I share tickets with a friend, and I don't have I have the Spurs game, not the Raptors game.
Oh, so, what a shocker! Obviously,
you went big time on that one. So
exactly.
What do you think about this? This is the kind of game you like to come home to when you're taking on the Heat, the Raptors.
Well, the Nuggets are in position right now with these four straight home games to do a little bit of damage. I think the Spurs are going to rest their starters on Wednesday night, because Greg Popovich has such a substantial lead over the Lakers, he's not going to want to show George Karl his cards as far as how the Spurs are going to play the Nuggets should they meet up in the first round of the playoffs. So this could be four straight wins here.
In the West, does it really matter then if what seed you are, if you're one of the top two? I know, I guess it matters when you get into the, you know, 4, 5, 6 slot, though.
Point being what? That they're going to beat anybody who's a bottom four seed?
That's kind of what I'm driving at. I mean, essentially, the Spurs have played so well this season that it's this new brand of basketball for them. If anybody's going to start resting guys, it's them.
Yeah, and I don't think the Spurs or the Lakers are beatable in the first round, but I do think the Mavericks are. So if the Nuggets were to slip into like the sixth spot and face the Mavericks, I think the Nuggets could win that series.
Andrew, what's tricky about this matchup against the Raptors tonight?
Well, I haven't thoroughly scouted the Raptors for a while, but the Raptors can, you know, they can put together a win here or there. They just beat the Thunder the other day in Oklahoma City. They've lost a lot of close games. You can't sleep on the Raptors. I think that, you know, DeMar DeRozan's a phenomenal athlete. On any given night, he can go off. Andrea Bargnani can go off. We got a little Italian matchup tonight between Bargnani and Danilo Gallinari. So you can't sleep on the Raptors. You have to respect them, but there's a reason why this team has 20 wins. They're just not that good.
No, the Nuggets are going to win. Who are we kidding? Andrew Feinstein with Denver.
I was trying to make it, you know, in case people still want to buy tickets, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to sell it. You know, come on. Work with me, Andrew. Work with me.
Exactly.
Exactly. DenverStiffs.com, Andrew Feinstein joining us tonight on Elephants in the Room. All right, forget about the Raptors. We know they're going to win that game. Let's talk about Melo and hiding from the New York media on the team bus. They're going to eat him alive. They are going to eat him alive for dodging the media.
Well, look, sometimes, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. Over Christmas, I wrote a Carmelo Anthony Christmas carol, and the ghost of Christmas future was Isaiah Thomas, who brought him to New York. And, you know, New York, his life is miserable in New York in my Christmas tale. His wife runs off with an investment banker because, you know, 50% of Melo's salary has been gouged by taxes and all the expenses that come with living in New York. Isaiah comes back to ruin the Knicks. The media is really hard on him. New York's not an easy place to play. I mean, if you're a winner there and you can embrace it, they will love you forever. And even though the Knicks are 7-8 with Carmelo, and I'm watching them out of the corner of my eye here, they're playing the Celtics and they're up, you know, New York still loves Carmelo right now, and I think that it's going to take a while. He'd have to do a lot of A-Rod-esque stuff to get booed there, and I think it's going to take a while before the Knicks fans turn on him.
And he's even said, I think he was quoted as, it's going to take some time, and which is, you know, if you step back from the situation, obviously I think a lot of people thought, oh, well, Nuggets are, you know, they're going to struggle post-Carmelo, the Knicks are going to be great right away. And still, I think we keep our eyes on Melo a little bit. And we thought, yeah, you put a superstar like that on the Knicks, and they're going to be good. But why, in your opinion, hasn't it worked out immediately for them?
Well, they don't have the surrounding pieces yet. You know, Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire, in many ways, are the same player. They're both ball stoppers. They like to score a lot, but they don't play any defense, and they're not exactly fast break kind of guys. They're the kind of guys that like to catch the ball in the post and over dribble, hold on to it too long, and then make a one-on-four move while the other four teammates just stand around. So they're eerily similar players. I think if the Knicks had a kind of a defensive-minded center and a shooting guard that could just stand out there and bomb threes, they could be pretty good. And I still say this, and I know it's not a popular comment here in Denver right now, but I still think the Knicks, you know, it's easy to say, well, we fleeced the Knicks on this deal. I think the Knicks had to make this deal. They had no choice. They couldn't float all season long that they wanted Carmelo and not pull the trigger when push came to shove. And you got to give the Nuggets credit for capitalizing on that. But I think in the long run, I do think the Knicks will be just fine. But it sure is fun watching them struggle right now.
Well, why is it not taking the Nuggets long to adjust to their new teammates?
Well, I think the players we received, and I'll take full criticism for this, are better than we thought they were. And I think George Karl might be a little bit of a better coach than he gets credit for sometimes, too. And, you know, these guys are, you know, these guys are hungry young guys. They're buying into the coach's system, and they're pretty darn talented. I didn't realize Wilson Chandler was this good. I didn't realize that Gallinari was this good. And then on the other hand, I think that Nene and Kmart, having Carmelo out of here, have really embraced the veteran leadership role, and I don't think that can be underestimated. I think that those two have done a terrific job in Carmelo's absence. So combination of all those factors is why I think the Nuggets have been better than anyone, me included, thought they would be.
Well, we talked about the Southeast tour that they made, coming 500 on it. How would you assess and grade their tour, their latest road trip?
Well, it's one of those things where if you told me before the trip they were going to go 2-2, I'd say great. But unfortunately, it left us all a little disappointed. I mean, we had that magic game within range of winning it. The Heat game was a horribly played game, but it was a very admirable effort. I mean, they only lost by 5 points. So disappointing that they came away from it 2-2, but I could easily be a glasses half full kind of guy and say, look, they came away 2-2. They beat the Hornets, they beat the Hawks, and then they almost went 4-0 against two of the best teams in the East. So we'll take it. We're happy to be, 9-4 in the post-Carmelo world. Yep. Hopefully we'll be 10-4 after tonight, so we'll take it.
Andrew, how important is it for the Nuggets if San Antonio rests their starters on Wednesday, like you think they will, to sweep this homestand?
I think it's important. I mean, you know, Portland's right behind us. Let's not, you know, Portland's like literally right behind us. They're one game back. I think they have a slightly more favorable schedule. We've tied the season series with them, which means it'll go to like division record as a tiebreaker. And we don't want to be in that situation. And New Orleans, as bad as they've been playing lately, are only a game and a half back. And if they tie us in record, they get the tiebreaker. So we have to win the games that we should be able to easily win, and then you can forgive the losses like Miami and Orlando. But as long as you continue to win the games you're supposed to win, and to the credit of this new Nuggets team, they have done that thus far.
Do you see them able to catch Oklahoma City? I mean, while Denver has played great, arguably Oklahoma City's played even better, not even because of Kendrick Perkins, who I think is going to be a good addition for them.
Hungus, I'll give you a very simple answer on that one. No, we're not catching Oklahoma City. We're 4.5 games back, and there's just no way that's getting done.
Any word? Are you still standing pat with not renewing your season tickets?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the team. I'll just re-clarify my point. I will be buying season tickets, but I will be buying them at whatever the discounted prices are going to be when they're desperate to get fans back after the lockout. It has nothing to do with the Nuggets. It's a bigger picture. And at some point, fans across the country in the NBA and in other sports need to get to a point where saying, you know what, if governments, if teams, if businesses are demanding financial austerity, then at some point the financial austerity has to be shared among the ticket payers. And I look forward to attending 41 games next year at a price reduced than what they would cost this year.
That's right. Wherever there's desperation, you find Andrew Feinstein and the Elephants.
I'll tell you this, guys. Once they release the new season ticket packages because the NBA goes dark for a year and they're desperate to bring people back, I will be the first one in line.
Wait, do you really think the NBA is going to lose the season?
They're going to lose half a season. I mean, if they were smart, they would get their act together and capitalize on the NFL's stupidity and step into that fall void and be the sport that people watch, but I don't think they're that smart.
That's true. I thought about that. Like, the NFL is starting to make a lot of PR mistakes in this, and the NBA could just sit back and sort of do a few moves and gauge the public response based upon the NFL sort of bungling them. I don't know why David Stern is not doing that.
Well, here's the problem. So the NFL, the owners are such selfish jerks. I have no sympathy for NFL owners whatsoever, and for them to not capitulate and make this thing work with the players is pretty unconscionable. The NBA is the opposite, and I know it's hard to say I have sympathy for a guy who's worth $1 billion, but 20 out of 30 NBA owners don't only lose money, they lose perhaps up to $20 million a year. And the NBA has a broken financial model. So as a fan of a small market team that gets screwed as a result of this model, I don't have a problem. If they have to go dark for 3 or 4 months to get this system to work properly, I'm okay with that. That said, I would love if the NBA, you know, capitalized on the NFL not being in existence this fall. If you look at statistical trends of what young people are watching, especially in the blogosphere, which I'm involved in, NBA blog readership, NBA online viewership far exceeds that of other sports. And if the NBA was smart, they could really plug that gap and be the sport this fall.
Speaking of the blogosphere, DenverStiffs.com, Andrew Feinstein. Hey, tell us about Jake's Food and Spirit. We know about Wednesday night 50 Cent Wings. We know comedy night Saturday night. But tell us about this Sunday brunch.
Well, we've got a new Sunday brunch. A lot of our customers were asking us to do something on Sunday morning. So we've got a mimosa special, a Bloody Mary bar. We've got all kinds of Jake's special food combinations and things. So if you want to come in and watch, East college basketball on the East Coast this Sunday while downing some mimosas and Bloody Marys, Jake's will be the place to be.
Outstanding. I think Jake's is a great place to take Neil for dinner tonight.
we'll be there a lot this week. I can promise you that.
I can get him a table.
Yeah, I know you can. Renaud, you're like the VI. You're the god. You're fast becoming the godfather of Jake's. By the way,
I enjoy
that's
Jake's.
That's your nickname.
Very, very, very.
At very least, it could be the Norm Peterson soon.
Exactly. Exactly. A hybrid of the Godfather and Norm Peterson.
Exactly. Hey, Andrew, we appreciate it and look forward to seeing you at Jake's.
All right, guys, you take care, and I look forward to watching the Nuggets take down this 10th win without Carmelo tonight.
All right, Andrew Feinstein with DenverStiffs.com, and you want to talk about a thorough website, a thorough blog, a place, if you're a Nuggets fan, if you're an NBA fan, you want to be on that site. You can meet people can blog with.
We didn't even get around to the Stiff of the Week, but I'm sure Carmelo Anthony is once again on that list as he's been a mainstay, not even in the last 2-3 weeks, but likely the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, he might be the Stiff of the Year. I think he's definitely gunning for that. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. Take your phone calls at 303-297-1510. Nuggets and Raptors tonight. Get into some more talk about what's your biggest surprise in the NCAA tournament. Only 2 Big East teams left, or is it the run? VCU is on. He's Hungus. I'm Reno Notaro. This is Mile High Sports.